Good evening. It is good to see all of you out tonight. We have a good crowd, and I will say to Jim, of all the reasons I guess I've ever heard of someone missing services, blowing things up is probably just as good a reason as any. For those of you who don't know, they actually asked Jim to word a prayer before all of that went down, and he has. That's the second time that he has done that, and so he's two for two with things going well. That can be a very serious and dangerous thing, and so we're thankful that he was able to word a prayer and everything went through safely, and he's able to be back with us tonight. So thankful for that. We're going to talk tonight about individual growth, and if you were following along in the reading, verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be both the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." And, you know, we're probably going to, at least the first point is going to kind of begin where we left off this morning, but it's not necessarily a two-part lesson by any stretch of the imagination, but it does go hand in hand. As we talked this morning, we talked about, you know, control, self-control. We all want control in our lives. Well, I think we all also want to grow, right? We want to get better at things. We want to grow and do things better than we had before. And I guess that would probably count for all areas, all aspects of our lives. If we do something, certainly we would want to get better at that. And we want to get better at our job. We want to grow at our job. We want to, you know, get higher up at our job. We want to do better in school or our athletics or whatever the case may be. You know, maybe you're a golfer. We all want to be better at golf. But, you know, golf is something that you've got to work at, right? You have to play an awful lot to get any good at it. And so we want to do better. We want to grow. But spiritually speaking, growth doesn't just happen. And I can remember in, you know, as we were getting into junior high, and I wasn't short. I was never short by any stretch of the imagination, but I can remember wanting to grow. Like, I want to be, you know, 6 foot. I want to be 6 foot seven, because basketball was my sport. That's the one that I loved. And so I wanted to be as tall as I could, but there really wasn't anything that anyone could tell me what to do as to how to grow. It kind of just happens, right? It's basically physical growth is a lot, you know, part of genetics, and there are certain things that we can do to keep our bodies and our minds healthy, but that's not necessarily going to cause us to grow. Spiritually speaking, it doesn't work that way. We can continue to grow. We can continue to get better, and we should be growing. As our context tells us tonight, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If He tells us to grow, then certainly that's something that we should be doing. He's commanding them to grow. And so it's not something that's just going to happen. It's something that we have to work at. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 16, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." So it doesn't matter how old we get. Now, you know, we know at a certain age, you know, science tells us that at a certain age, you kind of start shrinking. You're not growing anymore. You start going the other way. And so you're going to get shorter and shorter at a certain age, and you're not going to grow any taller. That stinks. But spiritually speaking, God says you can continue to grow. Even though your outer man is shrinking, even though your outer man is decaying, you can be renewed in your spirit each and every day, and you can continue to grow. So are we always growing? Or we ask the question, are we spiritual runts? I gave a lesson with that title, and I won't tease him any more than I already have, but a certain person who had listened to that lesson came up to me, and he's very short in stature, and I'm sure most of you probably know who he is. He's not from this congregation, but you probably know who he is. But he came up to me and he said, "Was that about me?" And I said, "No, I wasn't talking about physical you know, runts. Somebody that's very short, that we might say. But spiritually speaking, are we a runt? What happens, you know, when we used to have cats and we would get a litter of kittens, and the runt was always the cutest one, right? Oh, you know, we'd always go up and pick up that, it's that small one, it's that delicate one, and it's the one maybe that we look at and say, oh, this thing is so cute, and we just want to, that's the one we want to hold, and that's the one that becomes our favorite. But let me ask you this question, amongst its peers, how is the runt treated? It's usually pushed out of the way come feeding time, right? It's usually picked on throughout, as far as peers are concerned, whether it's a kitten or whether it's a person, a child who maybe is shorter in stature. Maybe, you know, the kids pick on that one a little bit because they see maybe a little bit of weakness there just in that short stature. I want to suggest that God does not look at us as spiritual runts and say, oh, isn't he cute? No, Tony needs to grow. Tony needs to get spiritually more fit. And I want to talk about some of that growth tonight. So let's see how we grow. The first thing, and I mentioned earlier that we would begin tonight where we left off this morning in the conclusion, and that is with being born. I know this is so odd to think that being born is a requirement of growth, but it certainly is spiritually. And even physically, we went through this with Peyton. Peyton was failure to thrive as she was in the womb. And one of the things that the doctor said was he was going to induce labor several weeks early, but she took things into her own hands and decided she was going to come anyway. But several weeks early, he was going to induce her because he said she could grow properly after she gets out. Right? After she is born, she's going to be able to grow more rapidly and grow more properly once she's out. There's only a certain amount of growth that can happen in the womb, and it's after birth that real growth begins physically. And I believe at that point it helped me make a spiritual application of being born. There's only so much growth that can happen before we become a child of God. Before we are reborn, there is only a small amount of growth that can take place in our lives. And we talked this morning about having self-control and coming to the point where we realize that I can't do this. I can't do it on my own, and so I'm going to hand my life over to God. And when we do that, and He tells us to become a child of His, to be born again, as we're told in John chapter 3, in the first 5 verses, then we can start that real growth. Starting in verse 1 of John chapter 3, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born to grow is the exact message that Jesus is sending here to Nicodemus, isn't it? You need to be born to be able to grow. You must be born again. It is certainly unlike a physical birth in many ways, one of which is that spiritual birth is a choice. We don't have a choice with our physical birth, but spiritual birth is certainly a choice. In 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled that will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. Notice what it says there. Who, according to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we choose, He can cause us to be born again as well. But it is going to be a choice. We decide whether or not we want to become a child of God. Whether or not we want to be born again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come." We talked this morning about handing over control, and this is how we do that. We are born again. We become in Christ, and He makes us, He creates us as a new creature so that the old things, the old life is passed away, and new things can come. Are you born again? Normally we wait till the end of the lesson to talk about being born again. But you know what? It's the first step in growth. Think about that as we continue. Because if you are not a child of God tonight, if you have not been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then you can't do any of the other things that we're going to talk about tonight. Because it all starts here. That you must be born again. Well, to grow, we also need to have a healthy lifestyle. Now, again, physically speaking, I probably don't have the healthiest of lifestyles anymore. But spiritually speaking, hopefully, we can say that we all have a healthy lifestyle. Growth certainly begins at birth, but it doesn't stop there. We need to stay clear of disease. Physical growth or physical health can certainly be stunted by disease. We don't want to have it easy. I have a friend who has osteogenesis imperfecta, which might be commonly known as brittle bone disease. And because he has that disease, it has stunted his growth. He doesn't grow like a normal child would grow. He didn't grow. He didn't get very tall. He's in a wheelchair basically all the time. But he didn't grow like others because he had a disease that stunted his growth. Now, he couldn't help that, but spiritually speaking, we certainly can. We have the cure for every disease, every spiritual disease that we come up against. We have the cure. And so there's no need for it to stunt our growth. We need to steer clear of those diseases. And in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 5, it says, "For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him," notice, "in order that our body of sin might be done away with." That old body that we're talking about, that old spiritual body that we're talking about, He says, "I can do completely away with that." Because it was riddled with disease or sin, as we're talking spiritually. "So that we no longer would be slaves to sin or slaves to that disease. For he who has died is freed from sin." The one who dies physically is now freed from their diseases, right? Whatever disease they may have had, they're freed from it at that point. Now, it's not how we like to think about getting rid of the disease. We would love to be able to do it while we're still living. But once that body is gone, the disease can no longer live there. Does that make sense spiritually? How we stay healthy, we steer clear of those diseases, that we become a child of God and we do away with that old body. And we have a new one that is diseaseless. We also need to eat right. I look in a mirror, right? Physically speaking, I need to eat right. I need to eat better. New Year's coming up. I never accomplish any of my New Year's resolutions. That way I can just roll them over to the next year. And it makes it easier to make the list, right? And this is always one of those, right? We're going to eat better. Well, spiritually speaking, that needs to be on our list of New Year's resolutions. We need to spiritually eat better. Now, a lack of food is certainly not good. In the Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12, the Hebrew writer says, "For though this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Certainly a lack of food is not good. We need to eat physically to remain healthy. But spiritually speaking, we also need to eat. But the problem is, a lot of times, spiritually speaking, how we eat is how I won't bring anybody else into this, but how I physically eat. Right? We want to snack on maybe unhealthy things. Or maybe they're things that are food, but you know, they're not really give us everything that we need. Just the things that taste good to me. Just the things that I like. And that's what I'm going to stick with. And I'm never going to go outside of that. And all of those, you know, fruits and vegetables that I know I need to eat, I'm not going to eat those things because I really like Kit Kats. And so I'm going to stick with those. Now, Kit Kats may be food, but it's not really a healthy diet. And sometimes we do that spiritually. We may look at verses that we like, verses that we understand, verses that we follow, and we may read them over and over again. But those verses that touch on things that I might need to change, I might need to do better, I'm going to skip over the forgive your enemies stuff. Right? I'm going to skip over, as Mark talked about this morning, you know, praying for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. I'm going to skip over those things and read about how God is love. We can snack spiritually. Is God love? Yes. God is love. It's true. It's in there. But we can't leave out all of the other things that God has to tell us. And the wrong food is not good either. Now, we can snack spiritually with things that are true. They may very well be spiritual food, but we're not getting everything that we need because we're skipping over things. We're just reading the things that we like to read. And we're reminding ourselves of how God is love and I'm going to be okay. Versus reading, you know, what do I need to do? How do I need to change my life? We can certainly also be led astray by things that are not even food that God has put not in front of us, but Satan. We also need a healthy environment to live a healthy lifestyle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." If we put ourselves around people that we have to fight against the grain constantly, people going the opposite direction of what God has told us, if we put ourselves in that environment, at some point, we're going to get swept away. In 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 and 7, we're told, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed." We need to live in a healthy environment, one that promotes God. You know, we tell people who are looking for a spouse, don't marry someone that will allow you to go to heaven. Marry someone that will help you go to heaven. That will provide an easy environment for you to make the right decisions and do the right things. And we may very well have, you know, a good husband or a good wife that will allow us. You know, he's not going to stop us or she's not going to stop us from going to services. They're not going to stop us from, you know, getting together with the saints. But I will tell you from experience that it is difficult on someone who is married to take the kids by themselves to every service. To take the kids by themselves to the Bible studies that are held outside of services. To meet with saints outside of service. It is difficult to do it by yourself. And while no one may be stopping you, it becomes very difficult. And this is not just about husband and wife or choosing the right partners or the right spouse for you to live a life. That's just the one that probably affects the longest span of time. But even your friends, your closest of friends, are they an environment that will allow you to be a good Christian or help you be the Christian that you need to be and want to be? Just some things to think about. The last thing on our list tonight, and there would be many, many others. This could have been several lessons long. But the last thing that I want to talk about tonight is time. It takes time to grow. No one is fully grown at birth. And aren't we thankful for that? No, they start out very small. Some of them smaller than others. And they grow. And we look over time and we see and are amazed at where a child begins versus where they are when they get fully grown. It takes time for that to take place. And you know, there are times when they are young and we think, ugh, they're just into everything and they're so small and how do they get to the end of the things that they get into? And then all of a sudden they get fully grown and we're wishing that time away sometimes. Oh, I wish they could, do this on their own. And I know for me, it's the car seats. I'm too old. I'm too fat to get kids into the back of a car seat, right? It's hard. It's hard on my back. My back has not been good for a long time. And so it's hard. And I think to myself sometimes, oh, I can't wait until they're able to buckle themselves. And then it's like, time out. Let's not wish their life away. Let's let them be kids, because at some point we're going to look back and say, I wish they were little again. Right? I wish I could lock them into that car seat one more time. Spiritually speaking, it's no different. Yes, we need to grow. And as kids, sometimes, right, we get frustrated. Kids get frustrated when they can't do something right away. It's okay. Spiritually speaking, there are going to be times when you get frustrated because you can't do something right away, or you make a mistake and you don't want to make it. But I want you to notice in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 again. For though by this time, even the writer of Hebrew understood that there was a certain amount of time where they would go from being a student. And they will never stop being a student, but at this point in time, they should be teachers. They've wasted time. But it did take a period of time for them to get there. And so the writer of Hebrews says, by this time, you should be teachers. But now you have to have someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. But there is time involved, and we see that even within that context. There is a time requirement. And so I'll tell you this tonight. Be patient with yourself. I've seen so many people get frustrated by their sin. Sins that they've committed, wrongs that they've done. As a young Christian, even though they may be older, they're a young Christian. And they make a mistake and they get frustrated. And the first thing they want to do is leave. Because they're embarrassed. I don't want to go back there because I made a mistake. Be patient with yourself. It's going to take time. Now, I'm not telling you that there's a period of time where you're allowed to. God doesn't want you to make mistakes, but God knows you will. God will forgive you of those things. God knows that there is a time period where it's going to take you to grow. If we are older, if we are mature in our faith, I'm going to encourage you to be patient with others. Not everyone who walks through the door is going to be as spiritually grounded as you are. It will take them time. We need to be patient with them. If someone comes and becomes a child of God, and we see them making a mistake, yes, we can point out those mistakes, but I encourage you to go the right way. Handle it the right way so that they're not discouraged. Be patient with them. One of our coaches always, and he has since passed, but he had a phrase, be quick, but don't hurry. We need to be growing constantly. We'll never get to an age spiritually where we can't grow some more. And so we need to constantly be trying to grow. And we want to get there as quickly as we can. But the point that Coach was trying to make was, don't go so fast that you make a lot of mistakes along the way. Be quick. Get there as fast as you can. But don't hurry to the point that you're making mistakes along the way. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that phrase, both in the sports world and in the spiritual world. Yes, we need to be growing, and yes, we need to be quick about it. We need to do all that we can as quickly as we can, but not be in such a hurry that we make terrible mistakes along the way. Notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, and I believe as you read through the 1 Corinthian letter and the 2 Corinthian letter that Paul absolutely, there is 100% truth in what Paul says here. He says, I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? Paul was willing to spend the time necessary, not just for himself, but for other people's souls. When is the last time that we wore ourselves out? That we expended ourselves for God in the way that Paul did. He says, I'll spend as much time as I need to, even if it exhausts me for your souls, for the benefit of your souls. When's the last time we've done that? We need to grow. Many Christians become Christians, but yet never change. Never change anything about their life. And we sing a song from time to time that is called Just As I Am. Right? God will take us just as we are. But God does not allow us to stay that way. He takes us just as we are because that's the only way that we can have salvation. We can't change anything until we're born again. Then we can begin to grow. And so God takes us just as we are, but then He changes us along the way into who we need to be. If we're not changing as a child of God, then we need to go back. Growth is certainly required of a Christian. First and foremost, we need to be born before we can even begin to grow. We need to live a healthy lifestyle, and we need to take the time to grow. Yes, be patient. It is going to take time. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with others. But we need to use the time that we are given. I ask you tonight, do you want to be born again? Do you want to begin that journey of growth? Allow us to help you in that growth. Hopefully we can, lead you in the right direction. Now, we're not going to be able to grow for you, but hopefully we'll be able to lead you in the right direction so that you can grow toward God on your own. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, begin that growth journey tonight. Become a child of God. Be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, as we talked about earlier, for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you've once done that, but yet maybe aren't growing the way that you should, maybe you fall into that category of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, where yes, the time has come where you need to be teaching, but yet you need to be reminded over and over of the first principles of the oracles of God. And you want to stop. You want to stop that pattern and start to grow the way that you should. We're here to pray with you. We're here to pray for you. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way, won't you please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.